buckle your seatbelt. It's time for another episode of the Prepper Recon Podcast. I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today.
Ready Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at readymaderesources.com.
Today's guest is Eve Gonzalez of Trading Post in the Woods. Eve, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Mark. It's great to be back.
So lots of natural disasters since the last time we talked. Texas had a real rough time with flooding.
I'm sorry. Can I interrupt you for one moment?
Yes, please do.
Before we start talking about Texas, because we got stuck in that mess, I just wanted to take a moment and thank all your listeners. I know the last interview that we did was just before the Atlanta show, and it was awesome getting to meet you and your wife. It really was a delight to finally meet you in person. But it was very humbling, all of the listeners who actually came not only to Atlanta but to the Dallas event that I was doing because they had listened to the podcast, and they came to learn. And so both in Atlanta and Dallas, my classes were packed, and packed with a lot of your listeners. So that was just awesome, and I just want to thank them sincerely for some of them drove, from Virginia and St. Louis, all over the place. I was just amazed to hear all the distance that people had traveled just to attend. And, I'm so grateful. Grateful that there are people who are listening and really wanting and taking the time to learn. The fact that they would drive, 1,000+ miles to come to attend a training class was awesome. And so I just wanted to sincerely, again, thank everybody who did attend. And for those who weren't able to attend, I hope that, they continue listening to your programs and continue searching out the information. And when an event comes close to them, that they'll try to attend as well, that they'll be able to. But before we get started, I really, truly wanted to just thank your listeners because it really, it made those two events very exciting, having those classes packed, knowing that they came with a purpose, and that was to learn.
That's fantastic, and I'm proud of all you guys too. Everybody that's out there that's listening, because we've got a very motivated group, and they don't get complacent, and they don't let the mainstream media tell them that everything's going to be okay, and they don't believe that the government's got their back, and they're taking responsibility for their own families
and their own
well-being, and I'm very, very proud of them.
Well, and they are, and it was very interesting, and that was one reason why, I had contacted you again, because they also taught me some areas that they needed addressed, and it seemed that, it was a resounding and reoccurring problem that they all had. And that was one thing that I had wanted to come on and talk with you about, was how could we help them focus in on some of the situations or the questions that they had. And so I know that that's going to come up in our conversation today and stuff, so that we can address some of those points and kind of put your listeners into a direction, if they haven't already found their answers. So the nice part was is that for some of those people, I was able to sit down and do private consults with them while they were at the event. But for others who couldn't stay, and I just did not have enough time to meet with them all, I really wanted to be able to get some of their questions answered for them.
Yes, and we do. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about today, so let's get right into it. One of the things we're going to be talking about today is dreams and visions. And we know from the book of Jeremiah that one of the tactics that the enemy has is he likes to sow false prophets among the prophets of God. So what ends up happening is that folks just throw their hands up in the air and they throw out the baby with the proverbial bathwater and say, well, I don't know who's right and who's wrong, and so I'm just not going to listen to anybody. But you can't do that. That's not an option.
Right.
As a follower of Christ, you know, we have to be diligent into figuring out who's bringing a true message and who's not. You know, this might entail typing up an Excel spreadsheet. This is what I do. I've got an Excel spreadsheet. I've got hyperlinks to the various interviews of people that have called certain activities, and especially the ones that have put dates on them. And I track all of that. And one of the people that keeps coming up on that sheet is David Wilkerson. In 1973, he had a vision, and I encourage everybody that hasn't listened to David Wilkerson's vision, you can go to YouTube, you can search David Wilkerson 1973 vision, and just listen to what God showed him. And I say what God showed him because he's been proven right time after time. One of the things he prophesied was that porn would be on primetime TV. Praise God if you don't watch enough of the filth to know that that one's come true. But if you just watch the pilot of Quantico, you'll know that it's true. I mean, the very first episode of that show is something that's just, it's borderline, it's pornography. It is pornography. It doesn't show probably what you would normally see in pornography, but the actions and everything in it it's complete pornography, and we just don't watch enough television to know. But I'm sure there's probably hundreds and hundreds of other shows out there that have that same type of material in it. Another thing he said is that there would be homosexual churches. When we left Fort Lauderdale, right up the street from us was a place called Sunshine Cathedral, and it's a 90% male church with and it's completely gay. And and another thing that David Wilkerson said is that churches would be practicing witchcraft. At that same church, the one that was right up the street from our house in Fort Lauderdale, they had a psychic fair every Saturday. So you could go there and get your tarot cards read, your palm read. This was a sanctioned church activity. When David Wilkerson was speaking all of this stuff in 1973, everything that was coming out of his mouth sounded asinine. It just didn't make sense to the culture that's listening to his prophecy. You wouldn't have porn on TV. In 1973, you know, you had to go to the seedy side of town, and, you know, they didn't have VHS tapes at that time. You had to go to the seedy side of town and buy a magazine, and, you know, you wore like, one of those glasses with the big mustache and a hat and a raincoat so nobody would recognize you. You were so ashamed to be doing that. That's something that would never, ever, ever be on regular primetime television in 1973. It was unthought of. Homosexual church in 1973.
Think about it too. Even in the movie theaters, I don't know if you recall, but going to an R-rated movie, that was like the horrible movie for anybody to go and see. And you had to be at least 18 years of age. They'd card you. Now, you know, I look at some of the stuff that they just have on regular TV and go, oh my goodness, you know what? That wouldn't have been considered an R-rated. It probably would have been a triple X rating way back when. And you look at it from 1973 to where we are today. What happened? Why? Where was the outcrying? Where was the outpouring of the believer going, you know what? No, this is crazy. We need to stop it.
We've completely acclimated to the enemy's way.
And even within the churches, you know, I have attended many churches as a speaker. I'm a commissioned missionary and a licensed minister. So there is a wide range of different churches that I go and speak in for our nonprofit. And I have been in churches and listened to teenage boys talk horrible and make such unacceptable remarks to young girls in their churches, other teenage, you know, girls in the church. And I've gone to the pastor and I said, if my husband walked up to your wife and said these words, what would you do? And the pastor's like, I would take him outside and set him straight. I said, then why aren't you doing it with any of your teenage boys in your congregation? Why is it okay for them to talk to teenage girls that way? And the response was, well, you know, they're just boys. Well, no, they're not. They're not just boys. Those boys, you know, are the men of the future. And if it's okay for them to treat and speak to a young teenage girl that way now, why will it change in years to come? You know what? The church is setting the example. And if it's okay for them to talk that way in a church setting where they're supposed to be different, then how are they treating them out in the public?
Yeah, and it's that complacent attitude that's drove the church to the place of apostasy that it's at right now. And back to the homosexual thing, in 1973, you could not conceive in your mind that a homosexual would want to go to a church at all, period. If it's and now when I say homosexual, I'm not talking about people that have, you know, you were born with certain desires or whatever, you know, we're all made evil. We all have sinful desires, you know, some people they might, you know, I came out of drug addiction. So, you know, I had, and I tell you what, from the first time I tried alcohol and drugs, I absolutely loved it. So was I born that way? Yeah, probably so. But does that make it okay for me to live that lifestyle of addiction? Absolutely not. So that's not an excuse. The fact that I have this inner desire, this desire that I don't have a whole lot of control over, and I need help from the Holy Spirit to deal with my desires for alcohol and drugs, and God's kept me out of that for 12 years now. So it's you know, that's something that the Holy Spirit can give you power over, those desires that are harmful to you and harmful to those around you. But 1973, that's just not something we could fathom. And it's just, if anybody's going to pursue that lifestyle and say, okay, I'm going to give into these desires and I'm going to pursue this lifestyle, they wanted nothing to do with church. So it just didn't make sense when he said there would be homosexual churches. Would you agree with that?
Yes, there's something else that I want to add to that, though. When you look at it, when we talk about even just the homosexual, okay, two things that I want to address there is that I have worked with teenage children who, you know, once a year they have brought into their school system people who will talk about, oh, it's okay to be this and, oh, it's okay to be that, and they've encouraged them. And into a realm, you know, you need to explore. And I'm like, why is that being taught? Okay. First of all, that's craziness, because the Christian doesn't get to go into the church and go, hey, let me tell you about the Word of God. I mean, it was just on the news about a 7-year-old boy who was reprimanded and the police came to his house to say, you know, you can't talk about Jesus during non-instructional time at school. I'm like, how crazy is that? But, you know, so I've had to work with teenagers who have said they never had a homosexual thought in their mind until people started coming to their school telling them that they needed to experiment. Because how do they know? If they don't experiment, how do they know? And I'm like, what are we feeding our children? And so that right there, that's a huge problem, because I think that, you know, when you have a lot of peer pressure and then you have people pushing to go, well, experiment, experiment, you don't know, experiment, that's a problem. But I will say this. Homosexuality in the eyes of God, okay, if you look from a biblical standpoint, and now I know I am probably going to get some hate mail on this one, it's a sin, okay? According to the Word of God, it is a sin. However, it's no different than the person who is addicted to porn. It's no different than the person who murders. Sin is sin. Okay, and whether you murder a person in your mind, okay, because the Word of God says if you do it in your mind, okay, it's as if you're already doing it. And so a lot of times people want to take a homosexual and say, oh, my goodness, that's a worse sin than other sins. But you know what? It's a sin. And there's no ranking to sin. Sin is sin. And the problem is there are some people who, you know, their sin is worn on their sleeve. But the person who's addicted to porn, it's hidden, okay? And if you look at church congregations, what they did a study, it was like 80% of the men within the church congregations, it took a survey and stated, yes, that they were either addicted to it or they looked at it at least weekly. That's a huge number. And yet that is not pleasing in the eyes of God. You know, so would we have thought that would to be in 1973? Absolutely not. You know, I can remember, it wasn't even talked about. I mean, it wasn't like people were coming out of the closet or that they would flaunt any kind of sin. Now people, I've had to work with families who the husband is on the computer while the rest of the family is watching TV, right out by the TV looking at pornography. And it's just okay. It's okay. So the children are sitting there and they can look over the screen and see what daddy's looking at while they're watching other stuff that's on TV. You look at a lot of these video games that they've, you know, that are coming out, and there's a lot of pornography just in those video games. You know, and so we have not done a good job at protecting our children, protecting our faith and our beliefs. We have become complacent. We wanted to accommodate. We wanted to be politically correct. And so a lot of people no longer stand up for what is right. But then look at what Constantine did. If we're going to look at where did we start going wrong, what happened with Constantine? I know you and I have had this conversation before. Look at the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not Sunday. You know, man, Constantine and the Catholic Church changed the date of when the Christian was to honor the Sabbath. And it was no longer to be called the Sabbath. It was to be the Lord's Day. They were trying to separate themselves from the Jew. And so if you go back and you look at all of that history, you know, and how they made it and penalized people who still honored the feasts. Well, God said in several of the feasts, it's a permanent mandate for all generations. All. He didn't say, okay, after Christ dies on the cross. He said for permanent mandate for all generations. For, you know, it's permanent. It means that, you know, that is something that we are to do. Yet as Christians, we don't, most Christians, I know we do, you do, okay, but many Christians, they no longer celebrate them because they were told, oh, once Christ died on the cross, they no longer had to do that. But if you look at Matthew 5, verse 17 through 20, Jesus himself said, you know, don't think that I came to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, and that until heaven and earth pass away, not a single word, not a jot, will be done with, okay, or done away with. Therefore, we are still held accountable, and we are still responsible for those, you know, permanent mandates of God. We are not held to the ritualistic, man-made aspects of them, but we are responsible to God. And we'll, you know, it, in that scripture, it even goes on to say, for those that teach otherwise, they'll be considered least in the heaven, in the kingdom of heaven. And so how many pastors who really, you know, never really sought God in the truth and have only gone with what they've been told over, you know, they were told and their dad was told and their grandfather was told and everybody was told, instead of looking back and going, when, who changed the Sabbath? Where did God say, you know what, the Sabbath is no longer on this day. It's okay for you to celebrate on that day. Oh, and then by the way, you don't have to celebrate those feasts either. We started a long time ago. And in 1973, I never would have believed that the day would have come that we would have all the chaos and crisis and foolishness that we have going on in this world. But we failed, and we walked away, and we turned away from God. And that's one thing, you know, I guess this would be a good point to lead into a vision God gave me. Now, that vision, as I had told you, already has come to pass. I'm not going to worry about dates or anything on that one. It came to pass. There were people who I spoke the dates and time to, and, in fact, they called me and said, oh, my goodness, it's happening. What was important of that whole vision was a message I asked God. I said, show me what it is that you are trying to point out to me that you want me to share. And so here is what it was. God showed me, you know, in this lesson that I could help give to other people, he showed me a hand, and on the hand was a burger, a hamburger, and the hamburger was cut into four. And one person picked up the first quarter and ate it and died immediately. The second person picked it up, they ate it, and they died. The third person picked it up, ate it, got sick, and died. Do you have faith enough to pick up that fourth quarter and know that you will live?
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Katie Armor offers affordable body armor, including level 3 trauma plates made of AR-500 steel. These plates can endure multiple rounds from pistols and rifles up to 7.62 NATO. KatieArmor.com. That's C-A-T-I Armor.com.
Get prepared before disaster strikes. PrepperRecon.com offers Molly-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, tough strip bandages, and so much more. Kits are available in OD Green, Coyote, Black, and ACU. $99 includes shipping. Go to PrepperRecon.com and click the Store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
We just passed the third anniversary of the Prepper Recon podcast, and it couldn't have happened without you. To say thanks, I want to send you a free PDF copy of the 7-Step Survival Plan. It's a basic blueprint that will help you to prioritize your efforts and make sure you're not missing any important areas of prepping. To get your free copy, simply go to PrepperRecon.com and click the 7-Step Survival Plan free PDF banner that's directly under the menu bar at the top of the homepage. Thanks again for 3 great years of the Prepper Recon podcast.
Now think about that one. You have just watched 3 people pick up a quarter of the burger, their quarter of the burger, and eat it, and they all perished. Do you have faith to pick up that fourth and know that you will live?
I think I'd have to have a prophetic word from God to tell me to pick it up and eat it.
Okay, here it comes. The first person who picked up the quarter and ate was a professed non-believer. They didn't believe in God, okay? Laughed at God, spit in his face, did not believe. They denied his very existence. When the time came and they ate, they died. The second person was a person who, for all their generation, oh, yeah, we're Christian. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, my great-grandma and grandparent, all Christians were Christian. But they weren't a believer, okay? They weren't. They were holding on to the coattails of all of the generations before them who professed to be a Christian and claimed to be one simply because it was in a generational line, but they were not a believer. They never accepted Christ. They ate it and they died. The third person was a believer, but they didn't believe. They didn't believe in the promises of God, nor did they stand boldly upon his word. So when they ate it, they became sick. Some will live, some will die. That fourth person will be the believer who will boldly stand upon the promises of God and know that they know that when they pick up their quarter, they will eat it and they will live, because in their living, many will come to know who he is. And if you think of this, the story of Paul, think about, you know, they waited. When Paul got bit by that venomous snake, they all knew. I mean, they thought he was such a sinner. Here, he had been on a shipwreck and everything, and then he gets to an island, and then he's bit by this highly venomous snake. And they all waited, and he didn't even get sick. And what happened? Many came to know the Lord because he was well. But he stood on the promise. He knew he was not going to die. God has given us so many promises in his word that as a believer, we can stand on and know that we will be okay. I mean, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, be cast in the sea, and it will be done for you. But you can't doubt. You have to know. And as we work into these end times, as the world becomes more crazy, what kind of Christian are you going to be? Are you going to be the one who goes, yeah, I go to church every Sunday. Okay, I even go on Wednesday. Okay, yeah, I believe in the Word of God. But when you pray for somebody who's sick, you go, oh, God, please, I sure hope they get better. That's not boldly standing on the Word of God. That's not proclaiming the healing. That's proclaiming doubt. And you have to be the fourth person who will go, I know that I can say to this mountain, be cast in the sea, and it will be done for me. I know that I can ask God to bless my quarter and use it for my body's good, and I will live so that he will be glorified and many will come to know him. When you are walking through a disaster zone in there is death all around you and chaos going on, you need to boldly be walking and boldly be standing on the promises of God and know that he's right there with you and that he is going to get you through. And as you pray over that food, you know that he's blessing it. And you pray over the water and know that he's, you know, purifying it and doing the things. But you have to boldly walk and you have to totally believe. It's that faith. And that blind faith in God, knowing that, yeah, you know what? He has never failed us. We fail. He never does. So I have been put to the test, and I will share this with you. I was in Mexico, and we were doing an event in Mexico, and we were in a very poor area. It was really run by drug cartel. The homes that we were, the people that we were working with, there were no doors on their homes. They had no bathrooms. They had little pots on their front step, and they would go outside on their front step and use that and then pitch it into the streets. The gangs could go into their homes and do whatever they wanted to the women and children. And the men could do nothing. They just whatever went on. And there were a lot of questionable dogs. So we were having to walk down this one street, and I would say that there were probably about 8-10 what we would consider most likely rabid dogs. And I called out to God, and I said, okay, God, I have all these mountains before me, and I thank you. I thank you for holding the mouths of those dogs shut. I thank you for keeping them glued to the ground that they cannot move or come at us. I thank you, God, for allowing us to walk through these streets, you know, without any problems whatsoever, and for not releasing them from where they are until we are safely in our vehicles. And we boldly walk through, thanking God with every step. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for keeping their mouths shut. Thank you that you have glued them to the pavement of where they're at. Thank you for keeping them, you know, placing your warring angels and your army angels around us to protect us, to keep us safe. When we got through that and into our vehicles, the dogs started walking back through the streets. Was it intimidating? Before you take that first step, you betcha, because you look into the eyes of those dogs and go, this is not good, okay? But you tell yourself, but my God is so much stronger. He's so much stronger than they are, and he will protect us. He also, on that same trip, gave me a message of what I was to do. And basically, there was across from the compound that we were at was where the drug lords hung out, and these gang members, and they were very violent gang members. So we were in an enclosed compound, and God showed me, he said, at 5 o'clock on the next morning, you know, the next day, 5 o'clock in the evening, these gang members would be sitting out on a bench. When that happened, I was to get my interpreter, and I was to go out of the compound and across to them and let them know that God had a message for them, and that and I was to tell them the message. And the message was is that God was going to give them one more opportunity, and if they did not take it, they would die, okay? And so I went ahead and I told the interpreter and I told my bodyguard, and I told my bodyguard he couldn't come with me when it happened. And so this was early in the morning, and so I told them what we were going to do, and they said, Eve, you're crazy. And I said, no, I'm not. I said, just wait at 5 o'clock. Let me know when they're sitting there, and we're going out. And sure enough, at 5 o'clock, my bodyguard, who had been watching for it because he couldn't believe that such a thing was going to happen, came running in to the compound. He said, just like you said, they're sitting on the bench. I said, no, just as God said. So I looked at my interpreter, and I said, we need to go. So we walked across the street and over to them, and I delivered word for word the message that God gave me. And told, you know, and I had already instructed the interpreter not to change anything, and we gave it to him. And then I turned around. I gave them a track in Spanish and one chocolate gold coin. And I told them, until they read the track, God said, you may not eat the coin. And I turned around, I walked, we turned away from them, and we were walking back to the compound, and I looked back, and all of them were reading the track. And then we went into the compound and stuff. And, you know, the very next day, God sent me back to go sit on their bench. Nobody sat on their bench except them. And God told me, you will go and you will sit on their bench. And I said, okay, God, I will go and I will sit on their bench. And they came out, and the interpreter looked at me, and he refused that he was not going to sit on the bench. But he stood by me, and he said, Eve, they will not touch you, for they know that God has sent you, and they fear God more. They will not touch a servant of God. Now, things have really changed since those years. Whatever happened to those gang members, I have no idea. They all came, they all looked at me sitting on their bench, and they all walked away, okay? No, we had no, there was no confrontation or anything. But that, you know what, I could not have done that if I didn't know that I knew that I knew that I knew that God had given me the word and that I had his promises to boldly stand upon and know that the Holy Spirit had been sent out before me, that his angels were surrounding me, that God would guide me and bring me home.
And you shared with me, you shared with me in Atlanta about part of an interpretation, and I think it was of this hamburger dream that you believed there was going to be something to happen to the U.S. food supply. Is that correct?
If you look at it, it already is happening, and that was what set that the beginning was. Years ago that we would hear on a specific day at a specific time on the news rumors and reports that people were getting sick and dying from spinach, okay? And it took place, okay, on the day and time and everything. And God, I believe, gave me the day and the time to tell people in advance so that they would know that it was true, because when that happened, for those that God revealed for me to share it with, I told them when that happens, God says, hit your knees and praise him. And from this day forward, do not ever eat your food without first thanking him and asking him to bless it. Okay? When you look at it. I mean, now they just had a recall on some granola bars where the nuts that are in them, they think, are tested positive for listeria. When you start looking at the different food sources, all of a sudden we have all this big, you know, you've got the E. coli and listeria and you know, food that they're finding all kinds of problems with. And you've gone to the store and you buy this food and you think it's okay and you come home and you're eating it and people are getting sick and next thing you know, they're doing a recall. It's starting. Will our food supply... Will it ever be used as an attack against us? I do believe so, yes. From visions that God has shown me, I do believe that, a food source will be one area where it will be truly compromised. That's why I tell people, I'm like, you know what? You need to be getting your food source now. You don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, will it be one of those things? But, you know, that after a major disaster happens, there's such a short supply. You know, I know that you were talking with Bob Griswold on one of your programs. I hope you don't mind me bringing it up. It was an awesome show. So if your listeners haven't listened to it, I highly recommend you go and listen to his program. Interview that you did there with him. But he was talking about what was going on in Venezuela and how people would stand for, a whole day waiting for food to come. And when the trucks didn't come or if there wasn't enough, that, you know, violence would break out. And, you know, the comment was that we could see that here in America. But we're already seeing that here in America. I've seen that every place we've responded to in America. You know, when people don't have what they need, fear takes over, panic takes over, hatred takes over, you know, and so you have to look. So, you know, there are visions that God has shown me of things to come that haven't taken place, and yet that one with the burger, that one already took, that already did take place. But I really believe it was because God was allowing people. How many Christians can say that they know they can pick up that fourth quarter, even you, that you could pick up that fourth quarter and know that you can eat it and you will live? You need to come to a point as a believer where your answer would be, yes, I know. I will pick up that fourth quarter. I will pray over it, ask God to bless it, and I will eat it. That his glory will be seen, that many will come to know who he is, because I believed I ate I lived, and they came to know who he was. I mean, Paul, people wanted to know, why didn't Paul not die? And Paul was able to share with them why he did not die. When disaster strikes and major chaos ensues and things like that happen, are we just going to fade away with everybody else? Or are we here for a purpose so that a lot of non-believers can come to know who he really is?
That's the end of the first half of my interview with Eve Gonzalez of Trading Post in the Woods. Come back next week for the rest of the show.
In Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Book 1, Behold Darkness and Sorrow, Daniel Walker begins having prophetic dreams about the judgment coming upon America for rejecting God's word. Through one of his dreams, Daniel learns of an imminent threat of an electromagnetic pulse attack, sending the country into a technological dark age. If they want to live, Daniel and his friends must focus on faith, wits, and preparation to be ready before the lights go out. Buy your copy of Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Book 1, Behold Darkness and Sorrow, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.